Let's say you run a business where lots of people congregate. How should you think about security now? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Midday Update. This morning, we're reporting on the nation's deadliest mass shooting in modern history. An attack at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, left at least 50 people dead Sunday and injured as many more. According to law enforcement, 29-year-old Omar Mateen was armed with both a handgun and an AR-15-style rifle, but a lot else about him is still unknown. Bruce Hoffman studies terrorism and insurgencies at Georgetown University. I started by asking him whether the owner of a business or venue where lots of people gather is reassessing their security plan today.
I think especially if that business might attract the type of violence that we tragically saw in Orlando this weekend, you will be thinking about how you can assure patrons that at least there's some recognition of the potential for a repeat of this type of incident, yes.
You know, we still don't know the motive of the shooter here, but I'm wondering, you have studied terrorism for a long time, and I'm wondering if the internet closes the distance between a potentially disaffected person and an ideology they can latch onto or adhere to.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most worrisome phenomena that we're seeing right now. In the past, people who wanted to be terrorists had to go overseas, receive training, be redeployed back into their country. There were plenty of choke points where the authorities could have interdicted that process. Now we're seeing individuals radicalized over the internet to carry out attacks. And it comes back to the old adage about terrorism. You can't protect every potential target all the time against every conceivable attack.
I wonder about this idea of the soft target, the place where consumers or kids or whoever gather, and whether there's a way to make those places safe or if that's a trade-off that impinges on American civil liberties.
Well, even in Israel, at the height of the suicide terrorist bombing campaign between 2000 and 2004, venues that were seen as especially vulnerable, that is, soft targets such as restaurants, bars, cafes that have a limited number of entrance and exit points, positioned armed guards there who stopped every patron coming in. I mean, it is impossible to throw a complete blanket of security over every potential terrorist target. I think, again, it goes back to owners of business establishments might want to have at least some degree of enhanced security or additional security to assuage patrons and also to make sure that they don't become, you know, completely xenophobic and closed in and refuse to leave their homes to go out and socialize.
Bruce Hoffman from Georgetown University, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
There's news. Walgreens is ending its relationship with Theranos, the embattled blood testing company that's facing regulatory questions. That's news. That's after news that the startup's blood tests provided inaccurate results. Is this the end for Theranos? Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
I think Theranos is close to the end. I think the most likely result is that somebody else will buy the technology if there's anything to it. Too many things have gone wrong for Theranos. First, they say they have this miracle machine. Then it turns out they're not even using their miracle machine for most of the tests. They're just using ordinary machines, which it turns out they're not running correctly, so they have to withdraw the tests. And then the CEO says, gee, what a surprise. I didn't know anything about this. So Theranos' credibility is at approximately zero.
Gordon says this is an effort by Walgreens to protect their reputation. Also in company news today, Microsoft said it will buy LinkedIn for $26.2 billion. Microsoft will pay $196 a share for the business social network, which has about 400 million users. For a little more context, we have Patrick Moorhead, the president and principal analyst at Moore Insights and Security. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
$26 billion is a lot of money. Why is Microsoft willing to pay that much? What are they thinking?
You have to look at what it could be. And first and foremost, and I'll just speak broadly here, this is another Microsoft move to own every aspect of business computing. Let's say in deference to what, let's say, Apple is doing, that who really focuses on consumers.
Yeah, LinkedIn isn't necessarily a cool company, but it does have a fairly focused user base, people who are looking to hire or looking for a job. So that is it the user base that you think is attractive to Microsoft?
Well, I think the demographic of the user base is really interesting to Microsoft. You know, when Satya came in, he in no uncertain terms said, we are about productivity, right? And to me, this is part of that focus here, where they had to make a choice. Do I, you know, plow money into consumer-based services and products or related to business?
What's in this for LinkedIn besides $196 a share?
I do think what they get is a growth engine, because LinkedIn is not necessarily a global phenomenon, right? You look at 500 million users. That doesn't even scratch the surface of how many business people there are out there in the world. And I think what this gives them as a service is the ability to grow in different areas that they couldn't necessarily finance on their own as a public company. I almost see this as kind of this classic going private move, and you can either do that on your own or get acquired.
Patrick Moorhead, President and Principal Analyst at More Insights and Strategy, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.